Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. We're going to kind of use this as a taking off point for the message today. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Matthew chapter 10, we'll read verses 1 through 8. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless the preaching of your word now. We pray that we would hear from heaven today and that you would really speak to our hearts. Lord, I need you. I need your help. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit as I speak. Control every word that comes from my mouth. And Lord, I ask that you would just work in our hearts. Your Holy Spirit would be active and working here in this place today. And that you would have your way in each of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The last verse I read there, the last part of the verse is really the title of the message today: Freely ye have received, freely give. Jesus was sending out his disciples to all the cities of Israel to preach and to heal the sick and so on. And he concludes it by saying, Freely ye have received, freely give. And so that's what I want to speak about today, about the fact that we have received so much, therefore we ought to, and we freely receive so much, we therefore ought to freely give. Last Sunday night I preached from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I thought about preaching the same sermon over again because we almost have a completely different crowd here today. But let's see. There, Derek, you guys were here last Sunday night. And Mike and John, some of the aunts were here. And I don't know if anybody else, a couple of the Olivers were here. So for you guys' sake, I'm not going to do that, okay? I'm not gonna give you warmed over, you know, leftovers, and so I've got a new message for you. But there is something in that verse beyond what I spoke about last Sunday night. I spoke about the love of God, for God so loved the world. But then it goes on to say that He gave. You see, because of God's love, he gave. So the message today is about giving. Because we have received so much. Freely ye have received, freely give. And we have no greater example that we can imagine than what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in giving of himself on the cross of Calvary. Freely giving to us salvation. What a blessing that is. The word freely is an interesting word that's used quite often in the New Testament. And I want to just read a few verses to you about that. Romans 3:24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Revelation 21:6 says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Athenians. And of course they were a bunch of idolaters. But in his message there, he says in verses 24 and 25, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. I want to tell you something. All things are freely given to us by God. Everything, even the breath, even our breath, the next breath that you breathe is given to us by God. All things. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. It's interesting that the word good there actually means to our benefit. Every good gift that's for our benefit, it comes from God. And it is a perfect gift. That means it is complete and it is without flaw. God doesn't give us any flawed packages. You know, sometimes you go get your mail and get your packages, and they got smashed corners, and you know, we've all experienced that. And the contents sometimes are broken and smashed. But that's not that way with God. Everything God gives us is perfect, without flaw, you see. You say, well, I had some real serious problems, and it sure seemed like it was flawed to me. No, it was absolutely perfect. It was absolutely according to God's plan, you see, without flaw. So, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. There's no changing. God is always the same. God will do what he says he'll do. Now, we have received many things from the Lord. Everything we have, we've come from the Lord. But I want you to help me with my message here for a minute. And I want you to tell me some of the things that you have received from the Lord. Who can tell me? What have you received from the Lord? Salvation. All right, that's the top of my list too. All right, what else?
Life.
Yeah, absolutely. Life. What else? Pardon?
Daily bread.
That's right. Sustenance. All right, what else? Family. I was just going to say, who's sitting beside you? Yeah, family. Amen. These are all on my list. What else?
Bible.
The Word of God. Amen. All right. What else? What else will we receive from God?
Mercy and grace.
Pardon?
Mercy.
Mercy and grace, yeah. What did you say, Mike?
Church.
The church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Many things. How many of you came from a warm house today? Now, maybe some of you didn't come from a very warm house. Maybe the wrong question to ask. Huh? How many of you came from a warm house today? Yeah, well, most of you. You know, isn't God good? Yeah. He's blessed us so much. So many blessings, so many things. He's freely given us so many blessings. Even the car you drove to church in today. Some folks had to walk. I don't know, nobody here probably. Some folks had to walk today. And God's given you cars, given you houses, warm houses. God has given us so many things, everything. You know, I appreciate Derek's message because he already preached half my sermon for me. But everything comes from God. See, we need to understand that. It's all been freely given to us by God. Freely ye have received. But then let's go on to the next phrase. Freely give. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because we have freely received so much, we have an admonition to freely give to others. There's a song in our songbook called Channels Only. We are channels for God's blessings. Only channels. You see, God's blessings come through, but then we're to send them on down the line to others. John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Every time I read that verse, I always think about our creek. Our creek comes down from somewhere, and the water comes down and comes right by our house there. We get to enjoy it right there for a while. But guess what? It doesn't stop there. It goes on down, and other people get to enjoy it too. And so it is that all the blessings that God has given us should flow out of us to others. We should be willing to, what we have freely received, we should be willing to freely give. Some Christians are a bit more like the Dead Sea than they are like the Jordan River. Well, the Jordan River has it runs right on through, doesn't it? But the Dead Sea, it has no outlet. And guess what? It's dead. There's no fish in the Dead Sea, no life in the Dead Sea. And if we're not willing to give, then we're like the Dead Sea, you see. And so we want to be more like the Jordan River than the Dead Sea. Now I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to spend most of our time there. This will be kind of an expository message now. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is basically some teaching on the subject of giving in relation to money. However, I believe that it covers any kind of giving. I think the principles can be applied to any kind of giving. There's a lot more giving than just money, though that's part of it. There's giving of our time. There's giving of our resources. There's giving of our attention to those who need our attention. There's giving of our caring to those who need caring. There's giving of our time praying for those who need to be prayed for. There's giving of encouragement to others. There's the giving of discipleship or discipling somebody. There's the giving, of course, of witnessing, sharing the gospel with others. And so there's all kinds of giving that we can do. And I believe that, like I say, most of these principles in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 can be applied to any kind of giving, not just to money. Though that is the principal thought here in chapter 8. Actually, giving is just doing something for the benefit of another, if we want to define it. Doing something for the benefit of another. In other words, and more than that, actually, it's giving up something for the benefit of another, which equals sacrifice, doesn't it? Or agape love, sacrificial love. I'll give you a little bit of background to 2 Corinthians before we get into it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Corinthian church had been planning on giving a sizable gift to the believers in Jerusalem and Judea, who were going through a time of famine, time of real hardship financially. And there was plans being made to take up a collection for these saints in Judea. And so that's kind of the background for this chapter. But let's read we're going to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to go back through and we're going to talk about some things here. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, inasmuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So the first few verses here is talking about the example of the giving of the churches of Macedonia, which specifically probably was the church in Philippi. And so there, he's using an example of their giving to try to encourage the Corinthian church to give as well. So then verse 7, it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply of their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, it is my partner, and he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of your boasting, of our boasting on your behalf. So, now we want to kind of analyze this chapter here and divide it up into some kind of an outline format, if we could. So the first point would be the principles for giving, chapter or verses 1 through 7, the principles for giving, and then the purposes of giving, verses 7 and 9, and then the performance of giving, verses 10 and 12, and then the policies in giving, verses 16 through 24. And so that's kind of what we're going to look at here real quickly today. And remember, as we go through this, we're not just talking about giving money. That is an aspect of it. And money is probably the most liquid thing that we can give. Okay? Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you go down here on the street corner, over by Walmart somewhere, you'll find somebody out there probably frequently with a little cardboard sign saying, I'm hungry. Right? We've all seen that, right? Now, there's two things you can do. You can give them a $5 bill or a dollar bill or whatever, or you can go to McDonald's and buy them a hamburger. But it's easier to give them a $5 bill than it is to go to McDonald's and buy them a hamburger, isn't it? Okay? So that's what I'm saying. Money is a little more liquid than many other things that we can do. But but nonetheless, there are many other ways of giving other than money. And I want you to be, I don't want you to think I'm just preaching about money today. Because the point is there, we as believers, as Christians, we have freely received so much from God, we need to freely give and pass it on. Not just talking about money. Okay. Hope you understand that. So the first thing we can see in the principles for giving, verse 1 through 7, is that it is a Christian grace. Giving is a Christian grace. It is shown as a Christian grace by the church in Philippi. We have this example given to us here in verses 1 through 6 of the church in Philippi. It says Macedonia, but probably was the church in Philippi. The Philippi was in Macedonia. And and so we see that it is a grace. And we look at verse 1 there. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And so you see that it is a grace. And also, if you look over to verse 6, It says, "Inasmuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." So it's referring to giving as a grace there. And then we see in verse 7 that it is parallel with other graces, other Christian graces. It says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith," that's a grace, faith is a grace, in utterance, in other words, being able to speak and preach the gospel, that's a grace, and knowledge of the Word of God, that's a grace, and in all diligence, being diligent in the things of God, that's a grace, and in your love to us, certainly love is a grace. See also, see that ye abound in this grace also. So we see that giving here is included as a great one of the graces of the Christian life. If you turn over to Romans, you keep your finger there because we're going to be keeping looking here, but 2 Corinthians, but in Romans chapter 12, where it speaks about the spiritual gifts, the word grace and the word gift are kind of synonymous in the New Testament. Sometimes the original Greek word, is it charis? I think it is translated gift, sometimes it's translated grace. And so here in verse 6 through 8, Romans 12, verse 6 through 8, it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth," there it is, it's a grace, you see, it's a gift, "let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So it is sandwiched here with these other Christian graces, these other Christian gifts of the Spirit of giving. So it is a grace. By the way, when you exercise a Christian grace, whether it's love or faith or whatever it is, how does that make you feel? Makes you feel really good, doesn't it? Now, it's not emotionally making you feel good. You know what part of you is feeling good when you do that? Your spirit. Your spirit is feeling good when you exercise spiritual graces. And this is one of those graces. When you give, it is a spiritual grace. "Freely ye have received, freely give." A second thing we see in these verses about the principles of giving is that it can be exercised even during times of poverty. in verse 2, going back to 2 Corinthians 8 again, verse 2, "How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Again, using the example of the Philippian church. But they gave when they didn't have anything to give. They gave beyond what their ability was. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Even when we think that we can't, we just don't have it to give, and we don't have the time to give, we don't have the resources to give, we don't have the emotional strength to give. But somehow, through the strength of Christ, we can give. That's the principle here. See. it can be exercised even during times of poverty. Remember this, the story that Jesus told about the poor widow. He was observing the, as they came by and dropping the coins in the treasury at the temple. She dropped in two mites, not worth very much, a very small amount. In Luke 21, 2 through 4, it says, "And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." I've told you this story before, but I don't think all of you have heard it, so I'm going to tell it again. When I was in Bible college, you don't have very much extra money when you're in Bible college. Anybody that's been there, you know that. I had six children at the time. I was working to provide for my family, and going to Bible college, and just busy as could be. And one Sunday, Brother Lester Olof was there at the church preaching. And that was back when he was having all the problems with the legal problems and things with the state. And, he needed money. And anyway, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was really speaking to me. I had saved up $500 for my tuition for the next semester. But God was really speaking to me that night. So I wrote $500 on a little piece of paper and I held it over to my wife, because I thought that she ought to be involved in this too, you know. And she nodded. So I wrote out the check for $500, put it in the offering. I didn't know how I was going to pay for my tuition. I didn't have it. But I did it anyway. And I just trusted God. It's an amazing story, because the person who normally counted the money at the church happened to be sick that night. So one of the secretaries at the church was involved in counting the money. Just so happened that this particular secretary was also the wife of my boss, my employer. She saw my check. Now, maybe this wasn't completely ethical, but she told her husband, who was my boss. He had planned on laying me off. This was just, we were just going into the winter months. And if you know anything about Indiana, it's hard to work much in the wintertime. And he was planning on laying me off. He saw that check, or he heard about that check. And he decided that he didn't know how he was going to do it, but somehow he was going to keep me working all winter. So he bought an old burned out fourplex. I worked on that old fourplex all winter long. I can remember how, you know, I was thankful for the work, but it was so cold. I mean, it was 20 below zero and the wind was blowing and I was just freezing to death. But I was working. God was taking care of us. And not only that, Monday, the day after I'd given that money, I opened the mail and there was a check in the mail for $500. I didn't have any idea it was coming. Somebody just given it to me. I was able to pay the tuition. And not only that, this boss, his name is Marty Wachter, and he was a faithful member of this church, of the church there, for quite a few years. But for some reason, I don't know whether it was through my testimony there or what it was, but somewhere along the line, he began to realize he wasn't saved. And that winter, Marty got saved. You know, God can get a lot of mileage out of something. You ever notice that? When we just do it his way, he can get a lot of miles out of it. Well, the point is that a lot of times we don't think we can. But we can do more than we think we can. And that leads me to my next point here in verse 3, where it says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Beyond their power, beyond their ability, they gave. Now, we've seen handicapped people that do amazing things, haven't we? We all could, you know, hear stories about that. I think about Johnny Erickson. I think about people like Fanny Crosby, born blind, but so many of our hymns were written by her. And many others. Somebody I knew personally, Dave Van Camp. Y'all remember Dave? How many of you remember Dave Van Camp? Some of you do. He was, you know, had some real birth defects. And he was a little short guy, and he walked really funny. And I don't know, he had some fingers missing, and he was, you know, pretty handicapped. But you know what? That guy didn't know he was handicapped. And when he had to fix his roof, he climbed up a ladder and fixed his roof. You know, he just didn't know yet he was handicapped. And a lot of times we kind of think that we just can't do that. I just don't have time to do that. Somebody said, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. You know, we can fit more in than what we think we can. We can do more than what we think we can. They did beyond what their ability was, or what they thought their ability was. I think about Pastor Robson over there at Tri-Cities. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But that guy was in a wheelchair, and Ben, you remember Pastor Robson. And I'll tell you what, he was in Vicki and Carlos's wedding. He had a part in that. And I didn't know him very well before that, but I was thinking to myself, man, what can this guy do? Well, he could do whatever he wanted to do, didn't he? Yeah. He went and he preached at the jails, the prisons, stuff. I mean, he just didn't let it slow him down. He went beyond what his ability was, you see. Because I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Let's look at verse 4 now. We see another principle here about giving, and that is, it is a form of fellowship. It is a form of fellowship. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. The word fellowship, I think I mentioned this a while back, actually means partnership. To partner with others, to share together with others. In other words, having the attitude that we are in this together. See? That's what fellowship, that's what real fellowship is. I so enjoyed getting a phone call from Dorcas in Burma. And, you know, she talks pretty broken English, but I could understand what she was saying, and she was so grateful for what we had done as a church there. There is a church now in Burma that we are a part of. Do you know that? We're a part of that. We maybe have never talked to them. Well, I've talked to them on the phone, but we maybe have never, maybe never will see it, other than pictures. But yet, in a sense, we're there. We're in fellowship with that church, you see. Why? Because we gave as a church. And so there's a church there now in Burma that wouldn't have been there otherwise. So we have fellowship with those that we give to. Now we're not, again, I want to emphasize again, is that we're not just talking about money. When you do something for somebody, spend your time, when you spend some time praying for somebody, or you spend time, you know, just caring for somebody, maybe saying a word of encouragement to them, whatever it is, you're fellowshipping with that person, you see. It's a form of fellowship. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." When we're bearing one another's burdens, what is the law of Christ? Anybody know? Who can tell me? What's the law of Christ? Wake up. Start thinking. That'll help you wake up. Huh? Love one another. That's right. You see. So let's go on to verse 5 here. It's a form of fellowship. In verse 5, it is preceded, giving is preceded by giving of self first. "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." So they gave themselves to the Lord, first of all. Before we can give ourselves to other people, we have to give ourselves to the Lord. And by the way, the Lord already owns us, doesn't he? We're bought with a price. But you know what? God wants our voluntary allegiance to him. Yes, technically we have been bought with a price. We belong to God. It's done, a done deal. But he wants us to volunteer, you see, to give ourselves to him. We don't have an empty tank anymore. We have a full tank now that we're saved, if we're saved. We have a new heart. But even though we have a full tank, we still can choose to steer one way or the other. He wants us to choose to steer his way and volunteer to give ourselves to him. So it is preceded by giving of self to the Lord and also giving of self to others. The Apostle Paul, in talking to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Now, what in the world did he mean by that? You know, I think Derek already made this somewhat clear, but there was some problems between the Apostle Paul and the church in Corinth. It was all one way, I believe. I mean, the church in Corinth. I mean, they questioned his apostleship. Paul, I don't think he had to defend his apostleship with any other church other than the church in Corinth. And we see that quite a bit there in 2 Corinthians. When he was in Corinth, he was not supported by the church in Corinth at all. He was supported by the Philippian church. And he had to help with his own support by making tents while he was in Corinth. So, you know, there were some problems there in Corinth. So no wonder he says it that way. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I mean, Apostle Paul is saying, even though I can't get anything in return from you, even though I don't expect anything in return from you, yet I'll be spent for you. You see, that's the attitude that we're to have in giving. Not expecting anything in return. And so, he says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. And then, so freely ye have received and freely give. Now, secondly, that's the principles of giving. And then the purposes for giving, verses 7 through 9. First of all, the first purpose is to abound in all Christian graces, including giving. We've already talked about the fact that it is a Christian grace, but we're to abound in the Christian graces. And 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Philippians 4:17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So we are to abound in Christian graces. Let's read verse 7 now. I should have read that first. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." So the purpose of giving is first of all to abound in the Christian graces. And secondly is to prove the reality of our love. Verse 8 says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love." So it's to prove the reality of love. Also, look over to verse 24, the end of the chapter. "Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches to prove the proof of your love and of your boast of our boasting on your behalf." So it is to prove the reality of love. We're to love one another. We're to love one another honestly. In reality, sincerely. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now we can say we love one another, but putting feet to that love is what makes it show, makes it real, you see. That's what James is talking about in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. He says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him?" Or can that kind of faith save him? "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And so we need to put legs to our love. And then the next thing is, the next purpose for giving is to imitate Christ. Verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." So we have the prime example of giving, and if we need to, as we give, we are imitating what Christ has done for us. And you think about it, what he has done. He traded his fellowship with the Father for a few stinky fishermen, a despised tax collector, and a doubting Thomas, and a betrayer. He traded his throne of power for a humble Roman cross. And he traded his crown of glory for a crown of thorns. And he traded his robe of righteousness for our filthy rags of sin. And he has done so much for us. What an example that is to all of us. We need to imitate Christ. And then verses 13 through 15, kind of skipping ahead there a little bit, another purpose is to meet the needs of others. Why do we give? Obviously, to meet the needs of others. And so 13 says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." You know, this last week, Jared and Tiffany were having quite a hard time. They had four boys. Well, I think four boys throwing up. I don't know if they're all doing it at the same time, but they had a lot of sickness, and they were having a hard time. Jared was down sick, and it was a hard time. And I called you, Mike, didn't I? Yeah. And asked if somebody could help out, you know. And Melody jumped right at the job and was a big help. And that's what giving is all about. There's needs out there. Everybody has needs. And when we see a need, we ought to be willing to jump in there and fill the need. Be willing to give, whether it's time or whether it's help in some way, or sometimes it's money, whatever it is. We need to be willing to help out. Doesn't mean that we are to enable those who are lazy and not willing to work and so forth. In verse 13, it says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened." So, you know, there is that thought there. The point is not that somebody can just take advantage of it and just, not try on their own and so forth. But often not. We may use that for an excuse, by the way. We need to be careful we don't do that. Now, I want to give you, in verses 10 and 12, kind of going back to 10 and 12, 10 through 12, the performance of giving. The performance of giving. I'm almost done here. "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. So here the church was, they said, well, yeah, we're willing. We're willing to give. We're willing to help out. And a year went by. See, you see the point here? There needs to be more than a willingness. There needs to be a doing of it. You see, a performance of it. We might say, I intend to do something to help out someday. I am willing. But we just need to do it. Just go right ahead and do it. That's what it tells us there in verse 11. And then the policies for giving are in verses 16 through 24. I'm not going to go through all that, but I just want to say just one thing, and this would apply to our church here and how we do our offering and so forth. So we'll call this giving corporately. And that's what was happening here, actually, because the church in Corinth was making a collection for the saints in Judea, and there was going to be a bag of money, okay? And this bag of money had to be taken from Corinth, which was a long way away, to Judea to be delivered where it was supposed to be delivered to. So a lot of things could happen along the way, right? And when money is involved, right? There could be dishonesty. There could be maybe some thieves that tried to steal it or whatever. A lot of things could happen along the way. So I'm not going to read through it, but what we have here in this the rest of this passage is Paul's aware of that. And so he's talking about Titus being a part of the ones to deliver this money. And there's one other person, an unnamed person, that's also going to be a part in this party of who's going to deliver this money, and the Apostle Paul himself, perhaps. And so what he's saying here is it is necessary that there is accountability when it comes to money being given corporately or giving for the church, and we try to do that as well. But let me just read a couple verses here about that, verses 21 and 22. Proving for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Proving for honest things. You see that? And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things. But now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. And so the people who are being sent with this money are people who were diligent people, people who could be trusted and so forth. And there was more than one of them. That's why when we count our offering, Nathan always has somebody count with him. Roy usually counts with him. And so there's accountability, you see. Keep Nathan honest, but also to protect Nathan from being falsely accused, you see. And so that's very important when a church needs to think about that. And then the other reason they count it out here in the open, so that helps with the accountability as well. So anyway, that's important that there is things that are done honestly, and there's no, you know, a lot of times in churches they're not, and we've tried to be very careful about that here. But anyway, that's kind of a different matter. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with the message today, but I want to get back to what we started with here. Freely we have received, freely give. It is so much a part of Christianity to be giving, freely giving of yourself, of your resources, of your time, of your heart, you see, to others who need you. And there's plenty of needs. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Freely ye have received." Oh, how much have we received? So much. Freely we should give. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that you'd bless the invitation time. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that has never actually freely received the gift of salvation, that today they would receive it. You died for them. You paid the price for their salvation on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, would you save them today? If there's someone here that's not saved, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they may also be able to say, freely they have received. Lord, bless the invitation time now, we pray. Help us to do business with you. In Jesus' name, amen.